Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, reading the first few verses. "It pleased Darius," or Darius, "to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence. Lord, help us to understand what we read. Please minister to the people and encourage them in this way. In everything that they struggle with, be there for them. Be the counselor that they need, Lord. Be the comforter that they need. Be the guide that they need. And certainly, Lord, you can do all of these things. But I'm asking you to speak to the people. And we give you praise and glory and honor. In the wonderful and precious name of Jesus, amen. In the book of Daniel, we find an ongoing plot. We find Daniel and his friends, the 3 Hebrew children, trying to serve God. But there are those that are also in some position of authority that resent Daniel. And they're constantly trying to show him to be wrong, constantly trying to find some fault or accusation against him, against his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But every time there's a plot against God's children in this book, we find that God comes through and delivers the righteous. To give again the background of why the Jews are in a foreign country, God had said by his prophets, by Moses, by the law, etc., that his people should follow God, worship God, look to God, trust in God, and not idols. But God's people, the Jews, continued to walk in idolatry. And God sent warnings and prophets. He sent other nations to chastise them in war and what have you, the Philistines, etc. And finally, after warning and warning and warning, and the Jews simply not wanting to hear, God caused Babylon to attack Israel and Judah and to conquer them, and to carry off a great number of people. And the king of Babylon marched God's people all the way to Babylon. We understand that Babylon is in modern-day Iraq. And as we study the book of Daniel, for instance, in chapter 2, we see a history and we can look back and see that it's history. But when Daniel spoke it, it was prophecy, a foretelling of the future, that there would be a succession of kingdoms that would oppress Israel, starting with Babylon, and then Persia, and then Greece, and then Rome, and then eventually the kingdom of the Antichrist. But as we've been studying this book, we find God's people, God's leaders, God's prophets, etc., trying to stand for God, and others, idol worshippers, astrologers, sorcerers, what have you, those that worshipped another god, or those that gave counsel to idol-worshipping kings. God was with his people. God withstood these false counselors. And time again, these sorcerers and astrologers were embarrassed. We find throughout the Bible that at times God's people had dealings with foreign kings, or the kings or leaders of foreign nations. And at times they had an opportunity to give a witness for God. But in all of these times there was a resistance. In this case, Daniel had to tangle with the astrologers and the soothsayers. In the book of Genesis, we read about Joseph cast into a well by his brothers. He ended up in Egypt. He ended up in prison. But God eventually delivered him and promoted him. You can look at the book of Esther. Esther and Mordecai tried to serve God in the court of the king. And they too had resistance from those that hated God. But they stood up for God, and God delivered them, and in fact, the whole of the Jewish people. I guess we have reason to believe that Esther and Mordecai knew Daniel. In verse 1 of this chapter, chapter 6, it says it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes. Darius's father was King Ahasuerus, and that is the king that put down Queen Vashti and instead made Esther queen. But in all of these accounts, we find God's people trying the best that they could to follow God, and we see them acting sometimes in great faith in the midst and in the face of adversity. But in our text today, we find Daniel being promoted in the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. We know that in the previous kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon, he had also been promoted there. But we find that his gifts, his anointing, his walk with God, and his wisdom that came from spending time with God is acknowledged. And the king appoints 3 presidents to rule over the kingdom. And Daniel was one of those presidents, and then he was further promoted to rule over the 3. If we are faithful to God, if we walk right before God, God will see it, and everyone else will see it. And God at times may promote you if you trust in him. But there will always be someone that tries to say something against you. It says in verse 4, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom." But notice what it says, "They could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in him." I mentioned Joseph just a bit ago. The Word of God records no sin in the life of Joseph. It talks about the suffering that he endured. God had laid his hand upon him and given him visions and dreams and called him to be a prophet. And from the very beginning, he suffered. Even at the hands of his brothers, he suffered. He was carried into Egypt He was sold as a slave. We can read about the things that happened to him, and we can read about the hand of God upon his life. But it says that he was blameless. There were accusations, to be sure. But he was blameless before God, and God made it known that he was blameless. God promoted him and showed that God approved of him. And it says of Daniel here that there was not any fault or error found in him. But there is always someone that will accuse the Christian, and these men figured out the only way that they could accuse Daniel and make it stick was to somehow trip him up in his walk with God. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they put their heads together and devised a trap for Daniel, and sprang it on him, expecting to see him fail. But God delivered him. God delivered Daniel. God delivered Joseph. God delivered Mordecai. And God will deliver you if you trust in him and walk upright before him. But it says, starting in verse 7, that they went to the king and flattered him or something, and got him to agree to make a law that said no one could ask anything of anyone, to make any petition or request of anyone except the king for 30 days. And I'm not quite sure what was in his head, but he went ahead and signed the decree. But it says in verse 8 that the law of the Medes and Persians, which was the kingdom in question, could not be changed. Once the king made a law, then even the king who made the law could not later change it. But these evil men set the trap and waited for Daniel to fall into it. They dug the pit and sat back and expected Daniel to do exactly as he did, to fall into it. In the book of Psalms, there is a recurrent theme that Satan digs a pit for the righteous, but Satan falls in his own pit. Many times you read in the book of Psalms that the bird has escaped from the snare of the fowler. If you trust in God, if you look to him, if you depend upon him and don't look at circumstances, when the enemy springs a trap against you or digs a pit in front of you expecting you to fall in, God will deliver you. If you will walk righteous before God, you can trust that God will be with you to get you through. But in verse 10, we see Daniel falling into the pit, or walking into the trap and having it spring. It says in verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." These men had the king to make it essentially illegal to pray, but Daniel prayed anyway. Now I want you to notice what happens. I want you to pay attention to the things that happened to Daniel, because all of us have seen this happen before. And if you'll bear with me, I think you'll understand what I mean. Daniel was praying. Again, it was illegal to do so for 30 days. But he was praying in his room, and these evil counselors, these evil governors and presidents or whatever, they came near, it says in verse 12. And they brought witnesses. I don't know if Daniel was arrested or not. But they came before the king and said, "Hey, king, you made this law, and your law says that if anybody asks anything except of you, that he would be fed to the lions." And the king said, "Yes, that's the law, and it can't be changed." And they said, "That's right, king, that's the law. You signed it, and it can't be changed. Well, let us tell you about Daniel, because we found him in his room after you signed that petition, after you made that law. 3 times a day, he bows, faces Jerusalem, and prays. He's doing something that your law said should not happen. He's breaking your law. What are you going to do about it? Now it's interesting, in verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Daniel and the 3 Hebrew children had gotten in trouble with the king previously, King Nebuchadnezzar. If you remember in chapter 3 of this book, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image and commanded that when people heard the music, they were to bow down and worship the idol, the golden image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But Daniel's 3 friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, no, we're not going to bow. But Nebuchadnezzar, when he heard about it, he was full of fury, full of rage, full of anger. And he questioned the 3 Hebrew children, and they said, no, we're not going to bow. Then it says that the king got even more angry and heated the furnace up 7 times hotter and threw them in. They didn't bend, they didn't bow, but they didn't burn either. Because it says that someone that looked like the Son of God was found in the fiery furnace with the 3 Hebrew children, and the only thing that burned were the ropes and cords that held them bound. That was under King Nebuchadnezzar. But here, in the kingdom of the Medes and Persians, King Darius, he realizes he's been set up and that Daniel has been set up. He knew that Daniel was a man of God. And it says right here that he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. Nebuchadnezzar said, what, they're not doing what I said? Heat that furnace up even more, because now I'm mad. Throw them in and kill them. But Darius said, but this is the man of God. I'm going to do everything in my power to deliver him. And it says, he set his heart on Daniel, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But in verse 15, they reminded the king that his law could not be changed. It didn't matter what the king wanted. He had made a law previously, and it could not be changed. Daniel had broken that law, and the king was left with no recourse but to carry out the sentence. So he did that. He commanded that Daniel be put in the lion's den. But it says, the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. This reminds me of Abraham and Isaac. God said to Abraham, sacrifice your son. And they went 3 days' journey. They went up the mountain, and they told the servant, the boy and I will go, make a sacrifice, and we'll both come back. Abraham had faith, even though God said to sacrifice his son. And again, this was a miraculous son. Abraham and Sarah were in their 90s, and Sarah bore a child. God said to sacrifice Isaac, but Abraham knew somehow that Isaac would be raised from the dead. And so he answered the servant in faith, the lad and I will go, make a sacrifice, and we'll both return. Daniel, I have to cast you in the lion's den, but thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He will deliver thee. But it says in verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. He was wrongfully convicted, he was set up, and for righteousness' sake he was arrested, he was convicted, and he was sentenced. and he was put in the lion's den. And a stone was put over the door or the opening of the den of lions. And it says in verse 19, Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And in verse 21, Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This is a great miracle of deliverance. Daniel is thrown into a den full of hungry lions, and a stone is put over the mouth of the den. And he spent all night, but it says that God shut the mouth of the lions. But Daniel says in verse 22, My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So they brought Daniel up out of the den of the lions, and they inspected him. They took a look at him, and it says no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And in verse 24 it says that those that accused Daniel, they were arrested and thrown into the den of lions. And instantly they were torn in pieces, they were eaten up. And it says even their bones were broken in pieces. And then King Darius makes a decree, magnifying God, glorifying God, and mentioning the fact that God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. But I asked a bit ago for you to pay attention to exactly what happened. This story is true. It happened just the way it was recorded. But this chapter is a type of Christ. The things that happened to Daniel foreshadow what happened to Christ when he went to the cross. There was the law that King Darius made, and his law could not be changed. Daniel was arrested for doing nothing wrong. He was arrested for righteousness. And in fact, he was arrested while he was praying. Christ lived a perfect life, as we know, and he kept the law. But God's law said that a sinner must be punished. But Christ was arrested right after he finished praying for something he didn't do. Now we know that he died for us. He died in our place. But he was arrested for something he did not do. The king set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, but because the law could not be changed, he was unable to do so. The law of Moses is against us, and there's nothing we can do, and that law could not be changed. But again, Christ died in our place, and there is a victory over the law. But it says the king labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. We understand that Christ was arrested and tried and nailed to the cross, and he hung there all day. But he was taken off the cross and hurriedly put in the ground before night came. But he was put in the lion's den, and it says a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet or his own ring, pressing into the seal. Jesus was laid in the tomb, and the Roman soldiers put a seal upon it. Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in the earth. Daniel only spent one night. But still, Daniel was as good as dead in a den full of hungry lions. The seal placed on the stone that covered the mouth of the den. Christ, placed in the earth, with a stone rolled over the tomb, a seal placed. And in verse 19, the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. In Luke chapter 24, verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, you see it's the same language even, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. You see what happened to Daniel foreshadowed what happened to Christ. Daniel, as good as dead, spent the night with the lions, and was raised again from the dead, or as good as dead, just as Christ spent 3 days in his den, the tomb, and was raised again alive. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.